Pray. Father, thank you for this time together, and I pray that you would inhabit our study. Lord, our intention is never to be mean or mean-spirited or mean whatever. Lord, I that's not the purpose of this. The purpose is to shed light from your word and to encourage us to follow your teachings, your true teachings. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. We love you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, most of modern-day prosperity preachers preach about three things. You can write this down: health, wealth, and blessing. And if you go to one of their churches long enough, and I was talking to somebody very close to me that did, she commented that she finally realized what she was going to was a bless me club. You know, it's my wife, Becky, that said that. And, you know, I've never gone to a church like that. Most of what, you know, that I'm gleaning comes from reading what these different people have written. Not even necessarily what they preached, but you have to read what they write. And if you go to a church like that, and all it is, you go to a church and all it is talking about what you can get out of God, you need to be careful. Okay? We are saved to serve. I understand that. Pastor Rick Henderson, he has a blog, and I'm not a big blog reader. I have a blog, and two of you follow me. Thank you. But he has written about these false teachers. I put his blog address in your notes if you want to look at it. I'm not going to read, say everything he did, but I will be quoting him some. But he does kind of go into a little more detail. I have spoken about the health and the blessing aspects of the big three things, health, wealth, and blessing. But I've said very little about the wealth, and we will have another lesson that's totally about that later. But Pastor Henderson said this. He said, there is nothing wrong with being wealthy. He said, I love it when Christians are rich. That should mean more money to fund the mission. But there is a line to how much money we as leaders should spend on ourselves. And I don't know where the line is, but it is somewhere before the ministry purchasing a $1 million home for us and our kids, somewhere before purchasing a $10 million private jet, somewhere before a ministry spending $261,498 for 68 pieces of furniture, $3,800 per piece. Somewhere before you spend so much that the U.S. Senate investigates you, you know, because you're supposed to be in the ministry and all this is tax-free stuff. So these people preach primarily about these big three topics: health, wealth, and blessing. And he names Joyce Meyer, and he says she branches, and he names her in his blog. I will say this about Joyce: she branches out more than any, like Joel Osteen and some of these others, in her preaching. But the reason that I included her is that much of what she teaches is false. And I didn't know that. I look at Joyce Meyer occasionally, but she scares me. She looks so mean, she scares me. And I just do. I'm sorry. I've never have. But I have. And she does branch off into other areas. But there are many things that are off, like the showmanship and that kind of thing. But I heard her and she said this: the Bible can't even, I'm quoting, find any way to explain this, what she was teaching. Not really. That's why you got to get it by revelation from the Holy Spirit. There are no words to explain what I'm telling you. I've just got to trust God that He's putting it into your spirit like He put it into mine. Now that is scary, because what she is teaching is you don't need this, you just need some kind of being putting something in your spirit. And if you can't understand what I'm teaching you, it's your fault, because the Spirit hadn't put it in your spirit like the Spirit put it in my spirit. And we're not going to talk about this. And one of the big things that I'm concerned about is that it's all about you fixing yourself. All of them are motivational speakers, and it's usually about what you need to do to fix you. Folks, I tried to fix myself. It's impossible. I can't fix myself. There's only one person who can fix me, and that's Jesus Christ. But the Bible does teach more than about health, wealth, and blessing. In fact, most of what it teaches about health, wealth, and blessings is about the health, wealth, and blessing of eternity. It's not even talking about this life at all. And the harms that these teachings do to people is that people are drawn to them. I mean, who wouldn't be drawn to health, wealth, and blessings? I mean, I'm drawn to that. I would like to have better health, Pat. I would. I'd like to. I'm up here, my foot's killing me, you know. It hurts. I wish I was healthy all the time. I wish I didn't hurt. I wish I didn't have diabetes. I wish I could do, you know, I wish. And it's certainly not about wealth. Who wouldn't want to have more money, right? And I don't know, I can get into the blessings, because God's blessed me so much more than I deserve. But when people buy into this health, wealth, and blessings, and it does not happen, when it all falls through, write this down, they get mad at God and they reject Him. And the problem is that what these jaybirds are teaching are worldly. And are not, they're not that, not any difference between them and the new age guru motivational speakers, even though they claim to have faith. But this is nothing new. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are carnal. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? The reason why so many of these people, even if they are Christians, cannot teach the whole Word of God, it's because they do not, write this down, know the truth of the Word of God. Here's what they do. They depend on the Holy Spirit to give them what they need to preach. Okay, every week, Jordan, I pray. And I say, all right, Lord, I need a message because I don't have a message for me that would mean anything to anybody. And then I pick up the Word of God and I read it, and the Holy Spirit will lead me to a passage in the Word of God, and that is where I get my message from here. I don't have to pray and God just miraculously give me everything that I need to know in my brain or whatever. And it comes also from years of studying the Word of God. You just got to study the Word of God. And I do. I try to get up every morning and I take notes. And everything I read, everything I write, everything comes, I take notes. And I have notebooks. And I've got a bunch of them now because I've been doing it a while. And when I'm struggling with a sermon, I'll go back and I'll look at those notes that I took on something that years ago even, and pray and say, Lord, you know, what do we do? You know, and that's what you do. But you cannot do that if you don't spend the time that you need in the Word studying. And I'm not perfect. Gosh, my goodness, I'm so immature. And I struggle with messages because of that. I struggle with messages because I'm a sinner. But so many folks are babies in the Word, and they've chosen a few main topics to park themselves on, and they know nothing else. In Senatobia, there was a Baptist preacher, and I did, you know how you do, you work with, in the area, you do funerals with different preachers, and I did a lot of funerals with this guy, and he always had the same funeral message. And then I found out he always had the same message every Sunday at church. And the problem was he didn't think you needed to study the Bible. He just thought you needed to go to church and open it and preach. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, but you know. So that's not limited to just the false teachers. Let's examine some of the problems the Bible puts out there. We have problems, our text says, when we begin to act like the world. Did you hear that? Let's see. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to bear it. Neither yet are you able, for you are carnal. For where is among you envying and strifing, divisions? Are you not carnal and walk with men? And then he goes on and he says, some of you are following me, some are following Apollos, some are, you know, Peter, some are talking about Jesus, some are this, some are that. And you just have fan clubs, just like the world has. It's like American Idol. And this is easy to see. Many of these guys act like worldly people. We mentioned Joyce and her $38,000 furniture. She has a commode that costs $23,000. That was an amazing thing to me, $23,000 for that. Benny Hinn has earned a lot of money. His ministry collects $2 million a year. His salary's over $500,000, owns a private jet, $10 million home, stays in a hotel that costs $1,000, over $1,000, lots of luxury vehicles. Kenneth Copeland, these are the ones that were under investigation by Congress, by the way. Despite being under investigation, Kenneth Copeland refused to submit financial information about his ministry. He said, you can go get a subpoena and I won't give it to you. It's not yours, it's God's, and you're not going to get it, and that's something I'll go to prison over, so just get over it. That sounds like him. He lives in a mansion, some have said the size of a hotel, $20 million jet to fly around and spread the word. Of course, he has an airport for landing it, too. Randy and Paula White. millions a year, and they own million-dollar homes all over the place, including in Trump Tower. Constant scrutiny for mismanagement of funds. Recently, they got a divorce. That really makes it tough. Eddie Long, I don't think he's alive now. These are 2 years old. He said this, Jesus wasn't broke, and leaders of churches shouldn't be broke either. And I thought, where did he read that in the Bible that Jesus wasn't broke? I guess, I don't know. He's got a $350,000 Bentley he drives around in, anyway. Sounds pretty worldly to me. But we can look at the list I put on your thing of the wealthiest preachers, and there's some legitimate people on here. Kenneth Copeland's the wealthiest, $670 million. Pat Robinson, $100. Benny Hinn, Joel, Creflo Dollar. I think he died too. Billy did. Billy's 20, you know, Billy Graham's there. Rick Warren, Joyce Meyer. Rick Warren is a reverse tither, and he and his wife live on 10% of his income. So at least, you know. There's a difference between somebody like Billy Graham and Rick, though. Anybody know what the difference in those two and some of these others has to do with their teaching? Yeah, they use the Word of God. That's their main thing. Now, you may not agree with everything Billy or Rick, particularly Rick. He's been a lot of criticism. But there's a difference. Billy never lived in a mansion. Billy never owned a plane. He did fly around a lot, but he was usually a friend. Rick's lived in the same house 20 years and drives a 12-year-old Ford. Billy, write that down, didn't own a mansion and Ford. I didn't know Fords last that long. David, did you? The difference in these people is this, maturity and worldliness. Maturity enables people to teach the truth from the Word of God, not just what they think. And the second thing is the meat in their preaching. There's no meat in their preaching. Verse 2 of our text, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to bear it. Neither yet are you able to bear it. Why is that? Because they are focused on what they think is important, health, wealth, and blessings. The problem is, write this down, these three things are not eternally important. You know, even if I were able to somehow convince you all that if you gave to me and my ministry, it would triple your income and you would have all kinds of money in the world. In 100 years, that would mean absolutely nothing. Right? Even if I somehow miraculously, if I said, you send me your money and I'll make sure you get much more than you send. In other words, you're planting your seeds. And I'll make sure those seeds grow and you'll be able to get a lot of money. Even if I did, it wouldn't matter in 100 years. It doesn't matter about your health. In 100 years, your health is going to be out there in the graveyard around the rest with the rest of you. I understand. We need to be healthy. I need to be healthier. I understand that. And I'm not against that. I'm just saying that's not an eternal thing of significance. We need to be focused on the eternal things, not the temporary worldly things. In 100 years, it isn't going to matter how much God blessed you in this life. So we spend too much time, and I have too, preaching about things that have no real meaning or significance. And think about Billy Graham. What did he spend his time preaching about? Anybody know? Huh? Salvation. Is that eternal? Do you think that's an eternal thing? salvation. Now, Billy Graham, he wrote a lot too, and he wrote about things of eternal significance as well. Those things are important. What about Rick Warren? He's more criticized, but do you think he's in it for the money? No. Has anyone ever read anything Rick Warren's written? I have. And I didn't find anything really wrong with it. There's a few things that I learned that I didn't know that perhaps I thought was a stretch, but, Think about it. It wasn't about health, wealth, and prosperity or blessings. And we need to think about that. Look, write this down. People need to be fed. And many of these teachers are not doing it. They may tickle your ears. They may seek to tell, you what you want to hear, but it is usually very shallow and false teaching. Look, teaching you how to fix yourself is false for two reasons. One is you can't fix yourself. You can't. And when you read these things and when you think about it, and when you read a Christian author and all they want to do is tell you if you do this, 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 and this, then you'll be fixed and you'll be perfect. No. It's not about what you do other than following what God wants you to do, okay? So that's the first thing. This, the only God can fix you. And the other thing is, even if they fix your problems here, even if they get you out of debt, even if they heal your body and you are totally made healthy, even if you are blessed beyond all measure, guys, you meet the perfect girl or guy, and you get married and you have 2.1 kids, or however many the average is now. I hope you don't. And you guys, man, everything's great. You have a wonderful home, good job, man. You enjoy your job. You have kids. They all are football stars or cheerleaders. You got everything going for you blessed-wise. Some of us have seen our kids grow up and move on. How many of y'all done that? And in 100 years, don't think those things aren't necessarily good. I'm not saying they're bad. It's not bad to want to have a good marriage and a good family and good kids and a good job. Nothing wrong with any of that. The problem is, it's not eternal. Does the Bible teach more than health, wealth, and blessings? Yes. Write that down. Yes. Okay. Who knows Bible stories? Anybody know Bible stories? Kids. Anybody know Bible stories? How many of y'all ever heard the story of Daniel? You have? Come up here, buddy. Come here. We're going to do a picture thing here. And I want to show you something that's very important about every Bible story. We're good. Okay, now this is Daniel. What do you think he's doing there? The king said they couldn't do it. He's praying. Well, you know what happened then, don't you? What happened to him? He got thrown into the lion's den. Well, he's in problems here. I don't know about y'all, but if I got thrown into the lion's den, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? And so, I guess somebody just told him he needed to name it and claim it, and he did. He prayed to God, and God, look what God did. What's he doing there? What is that? He sent an angel, and the lions, what are they doing now? They're getting ready to eat him? No, they're closed. Their mouths are closed. Now what do you think's happening to him? They're pulling him out because he made it. You know why he made it? Yeah. He trusted God. And God did it, not him. He wasn't the one that enabled himself to live. It was up to God. Okay? You can sit down. Anybody else want to do one? Well, come on, Crip. Miss, I told her, you know, got to be careful of them trampolines and all that stuff up there, you know. I'd have been upside down and all around. Okay, now this is a story about Moses. You remember Moses? Remember what happened when they were little? He's little. The king said, we got to kill all the babies, the boy babies, right? So what did his mother do? Now, does that make a lot of sense? Do you think that's very safe? No, it's not, because you know what they had in that river? They had crocodiles and hippopotami. And hippopotami, everybody thinks, oh, they're so fat and they're cute and all that. They would eat babies. People sacrificed babies to them as part of a sacrificial system. They worshiped them. And so here is this woman. She hadn't read a self-help book to know how to do this, did she? If you want to be blessed, take your baby and put him in a basket and throw him in the water with hippopotamus and crocodiles, right? Well, you know what happens. What's that? Yeah, a girl found. Who is the girl, do you think? The Pharaoh's daughter. Woo! The Pharaoh's the king, isn't he? And here's somebody talking to her. What's she telling? Who's that girl, do you think? Yeah, and she's telling him, do you need somebody to babysit that baby? And she says, well, sure I do, because I'm the queen, and I can't babysit anybody, right? So she goes and gets somebody. Who is that? Wait a minute. Who is that? Put him in the basket. His mother. Who is this? The same person, see? His mother. And his mother got to raise him. You did good, good. Yeah, yeah. These kids, you know, they know. They know these stories. And they know, look, don't ever forget, kids, the stories you learn. And the stories you learn from the Bible, it's all about God doing stuff, not fixing yourself. The Bible teaches many things. It teaches us in the Old Testament the commandments of God. The Bible teaches us the prophets of old and what they taught us and words from God. The Bible has mighty songs and poems from God Himself. The Bible tells the story of Jesus and His death and His resurrection. And the Bible tells the story of the founding of the church. And the Bible has the writings of the apostles there, explaining great truths about biblical doctrine. By the way, Joel Osteen does not teach doctrine because he said he has a hard time understanding it. And you know, you just want to say, Joel, if you'd gone to college or seminary, maybe you wouldn't have so much trouble. I have a hard time with it too, but when you sit under people that are older and wiser in the Word than you, you learn some things. The Bible has a story of the end time as we know it, as told in Revelation. Look, write this down. If a preacher doesn't teach the whole Word of God, he or she is not a real, real preacher. And understand this. Compromised truths are lies disguised as truth. Now, understand this, guys. Folks can get off on teaching sometimes. Everybody's off for every once in a while. Everybody. Especially me. But the problem is, when you consistently are off. The problem is when you write things that are off. Now, there have been times I've written things in my devotions, for example, and there have been people call my hand on it and said, you're not right. And I looked it up, and they were right. I wasn't right, you know. That's fine. But understand, consistency, and then when you're called on it, you just say, you're wrong. You know, the person's wrong. Look, the Word of God's the only thing that's always right. Stick with it. Stick with it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Again, Lord, we want to primarily understand that your Word is what's most important. It doesn't matter what we think of on our own. It doesn't matter how much we try to fix ourselves. It doesn't matter about any of that. What matters is your Word and the teaching of the whole Word. Help us to seek that. But help us to understand that we are the ones that need to be studying your Word individually, not depending on some teacher, but depending on you and your Word and your love. Go with us this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.